And so my question, then one last question is, since you have the facility to create the jump drives, could you do that for the station when they create premiums on a jump drive?
The last fund drive, there were a number of premiums that we released as jump drives, with KPFK particularly. And we both do ones with KPFK, the station logo on them, and we also produce them with the Archives logo on them.
Okay, thank you.
And also, I'll also add that in the jump drive, we're able to include multimedia. So one of the new premiums in the jump drive is a slideshow of the cover art from the program folio guides from the beginning of the station's history. We've done that for KPFK. We're about to do it with WBAI. The KPFA folios are being digitized now thanks to a donation from Internet Archive in San Francisco, and those will be available when we can get to it. And then KPFT and WPFW folios are in queue to be sent for digitization, and ultimately we'll be able to do cover folio art or the entire folios in a jump drive premium.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to R. Paul and then to Campbell.
I forgot your note about being short. Sorry.
Okay. I have a very fast thing. Tracy mentioned before BAI and its shared expenses thing. However, I'm told by BAI management that at least a couple of months ago, BAI was all current with PRA. And so I think that with PRA, BAI is not a liability in that case. I think we are keeping up with our formerly central services payments to PRA. Correct me if I'm wrong on the latest one or something.
I believe you are correct, and thank you for noting that. Actually, I just came from WBAI from a four-day trip to with our Addie Gibbons, our consultant, Joe Gallucci, our archivist, and some professional archive volunteers. We spent 4 days going through closets and departments and the news department, the drama and literature department, the public affairs department. They all sort of opened up their closets and went through and helped us rescue tape that was being stored in pretty below standard conditions. And what we were able to discover is pretty incredible. They're being shipped back to us. Some of the significant tapes from WBAI are being included in the current National Endowment for the Arts grant. And also, of course, that sort of ends up being material for marketing website, WBAI special premiums. And again, sort of raises the historic significance of WBAI and the network. So thanks, WBAI. Again, I'm sorry I'm long-winded. I'm sorry.
You are totally forgiven, and just as a point of personal privilege, I in no way meant to indicate that WBAI was, you know, a problem to the archives in any way, shape, or form. I just wanted to be realistic about some of our challenges, and if I spoke out of turn, R. Paul, I apologize.
No, that's okay. I understand.
Okay. On to Campbell.
Yes. Madam Chair, my question or concern is somewhat in regard to process, and I really have a huge problem voting on a budget when we don't have the actuals, you know, in front of us, and we can't assess, or there can't be an objective assessment made of what would occur if there are some problems in regard to some of the central services payments or other expected revenues coming through. And, you know, having 1 month's salary as a cushion, I think is nice. But when we have some potentially major kinds of challenges various places in the network, I think that could be problematic. Thank you.
This is Tracy. Just to address what Campbell said a moment, I do want to note that the National Finance Committee received this completed budget some 3.5 weeks ago, so members have had a sufficient amount of time to review it. And 9-month year-to-dates were, of course, sent to all NFC members several weeks ago. That
said, basically in terms of a process challenge, I do think the NFC needs to move ahead with approving and modifying budgets, and I am going to keep the motion on the floor that I presented. Of course, any NFC member is more than free to vote negatively if they don't feel comfortable passing this budget on to the PNB. So there is a motion on the floor. Are there any final shots, or can we go on to a vote on the motion?
Arlene to the stack. Tracy?
Okay, Arlene.
Yeah. Just a quick point. You know, with every station that we deal with, there's the possibility that something can fall through in revenue. You know, we have an earthquake in San Francisco and have a fund drive completely destroyed. I think we have to make some decent assumptions based on revenue and then hope for the best.
Okay. Thank you. With that, our Paul, if you would like to go ahead and take the roll for the motion.
Alex, point of information, please reread. This is Ken. Could you please reread the motion?
Yes, I am going to do that. Alex, you had something to say?
Just very quickly, as far as the argument about we have to postpone voting at budgets until we know all the factors, that's an ideal world. We don't live in an ideal world. We know that we're going to be facing some deep challenges this year, particularly with the budget that Congress is approving. So we have to just go ahead and hope for the best.
Okay. This is Tracy. I'm going to restate the motion for the secretary and for the stream and for the record. The motion is that the National Finance Committee recommends to the full Pacifica National Board the approval of the archives budget submitted by Brian DeShazer. Period. I don't think there's anything else I have to add to that. And if there's no further objection, I would like our Paul to call the roll on that motion. And I think I heard somebody talking.
I'm sorry, this is Brian Chaser. I'm just going to ask the request that you include prepared by Mariana Berkovich.
I cannot hear. Please, can we start over?
Echo.
Brian is making a slight modification to the wording that I just came up with. Brian, would you go ahead and say that again to Art Paul, and he can add that text? There's no objection.
Presented by Brian DeShazer, prepared by Mariana Berkovich.
Okay, you can add that text, Art Paul.
I'm doing it now.
Okay.
And just thank you for the opportunity for me to speak to the committee, and I'll step out and let the voting process continue. Thank you, everybody.
Before you do, how do you spell Berkowitz?
B-E-R-K-O-V as in Victor, I-C-H, Berkovich.
Okay.
Madam Chair, prior to...
Let me read what I have.
Ken, point of order.
Hold on just a second. Let me say something, then I'll be right to you, Ken. Thank you, Brian. Do you need Brian to stay to address your point of order? Okay,
no.
Then let's say good night and thank you to Brian. We appreciate your time. We hope it wasn't too grueling. Good night.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Ken.
My point of order is I would recommend we see if we could pass it without objection before doing a roll call.
Okay, that's reasonable.
I have an objection.
Okay, the answer is we can't. Our Paul, proceed with the roll call.
Okay, let me read what I have. Or is this? What I have is that the NFC recommends that the full... Wow, I'm getting a big echo.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear. Okay, I'll try this again.
Wait, where's the echo coming from? What is that?
I don't know. Oh, it stopped. That the NFC recommends to the full PNB the approval of the Pacifica Radio Archives budget submitted by Brian DeShazer and prepared by Mariana Berkovich. Okay. Ken Aaron.
You should approve. Put 2012 in there.
Sorry, 2012.
Okay.
FY12.
Added.
Okay, I added that as PRA FY12 budget. Okay. Ken Aaron.
Approved.
Jim Boyd.
Yes.
Bill Crozier. Bill Crozier.
Yes. Sorry, I was muted.
Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman.
Yes.
LeVarn Williams. LeVarn Williams. Bruce Wolf.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is LeVarn, yes.
Bruce Wolf.
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's 10-4, one against.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So take a deep breath. Pause for a moment, and then when they are ready, we will be hearing from Houston on their proposed budget. We do not have a guest, so I am assuming that between them, Jim Boyd and Bill Crozier will be presenting. I'm going to assume the LSB treasurer, Jim, is going to do that, but however the two of you wish to work it out. And we'll be ready when you are.
A point of information and preparation, what's the document on that?
Okay, hold on. I will get it for you. Okay, again, it was sent earlier today. It was also sent out some time ago as well. But,
is it called KPFT FY 2012 budget, V4?
I think that is the one. I want to note that it does not have the many, many pages of details behind it. I was told that more detailed document was available, but it was not sent prior to this meeting. I am hoping that we will be able to get enough background information from our two KPFT members to proceed. That would be my preference, but this is a document that was sent by Dwayne Bradley, and I don't have any other document.
Thank
okay,
you.
This is Jim Boyd. I'm prepared to explain this document if you want me to.
That's what I want you to do.
Okay. This is very close to the FY11 budget that we're working with right now. The two changes we have, we had the revenue projections are a little more conservative for fiscal year 12 than 11. The other thing we did in the revenue, there had been some confusion about the coding of certain sources. And so if you look at this report, that's been reduced quite a bit. We have three primary sources of income. One is on the fund drives. One is what we have the tip jar through the website. And the other is major donor. And there had been... There really hadn't been much division of revenue between those three groups, and so it had been put into primarily listener support. So if you look at FY11, the budget was a little over $1 million for listener support. We brought that down, but increased website income because there was a substantial portion of the revenue for the year was coming through the website, not necessarily through phone calls and fund drive. In the same way on major donor, we have income coming in through the year, and when it switches to $1,000 during the year, at that point it goes from a listener sponsor into a major donor. And so in going over the past revenue, we came up with these four categories as being more representative of what we were actually bringing into the station for revenue. We are on community special events. We were somewhat conservative on that area. Right now, we're about $15,000 ahead of the FY11 budgeted revenue. And we still have some events coming in later. So we feel that is one area that is considerably lower at $50,000 than would probably actually be received during fiscal year 12. But that kind of adds to the whole approach we had of being very conservative on the revenue side. The expenses are very similar to what we had last year. The only big difference we had, there's going to be quite an increase in health care. Other than that, the expenses are very, very similar to what we had last year. The one area, and LeVarn can help me on this, on the capital items, those primarily are, some of those are within the budget themselves, and these were items that we had just tossed in. Generally, we haven't spent these amounts. So when we set up our budget, we were coming down to a net income, net loss on line 34, instead of going down and making 48 be reconciled. So when we put this budget together in the Finance Committee and with the LSB, we were looking at line 34 as far as coming up with a balanced budget. I can take questions.
Ken to the stack. Ken to the stack.
Okay, that was great. I heard Ken. Who else?
Ken.
Barbara.
Ken, Barbara. Who else?
And Campbell.
Alex.
Okay, Ken, Barbara, Campbell, Alex. Anybody else?
LeVarn, I can think again to the capital on the budget.
Right. Okay, let's start with Ken.
I'm sorry, who made the presentation? I think
Jim.
Jim Boyd, right? I don't see a line item here for the election. I see a larger amount on line 23 for board expenses, but it's only
bad echo is back.
I can't tell if there's one or two people talking because of the echo, but I'm just saying I don't see a line item for the LSB elections in 2012.
66, Cameron.
Under board election 63, under the detail 66
right.
is for the election.
63. So, but it's only 18,000. Is that the 18,000? 66?
Yeah, 3,000 a month.
Yeah, this is Bill. I asked about that too, and it basically just covers the LES salary. And we were told the other stuff came from the national office. Is that?
I don't believe that's correct. I believe the stations have to pay for the franking and the cost. The national may pay the bill, but the station gets charged for the postage, I believe, or the station pays the postage. I mean,
yes, the stations get billed for that postage.
Right. So $3,000 a month just for the LES is inadequate.
This is the figure we were given.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying that institutional memory will say give us an estimate of what it cost to run the election, whatever we paid in 2000 and the last election, which was 2009 or 2010, you know.
Well, this is Kim. It looks
Wait a minute. Let's stay
Kim,
the
Kim,
queue.
Wait. You're not on the staff.
Let's stay on the queue. My other question then was, forgetting about that, which to me seems an admitted expense, we're saying that on line 48, line 34, we would have a net just squeak over with $1,500. But if we did the capital expenses, we would be negative, correct?
That's correct.
And but the line 34 does include central services. So you could squeak by with 1546 unless you wanted to buy a popcorn machine or something. And then we'd be in the hole. Or whatever. So I'm just perceiving that correctly. So the main point I have here is we're not allocating funds for the elections. And that's got to be incorporated.
For the portion of the election on postage, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to move on in the discussion to Campbell.
Yes.
Wait.
I think the other observations are very good, but we're not having the assumptions sheet as part of what's presented in these budgets now, because I remember the first year that the template was provided, the assumption sheet was in there so that there was a flow from the assumptions to the items in the budget. I guess that's a question for Laverne.
I'm sorry. Shall I speak, Tracy?
I think so. We're trying to get the questions answered, so.
Yes, the information is there. What was sent, as Tracy stated when she prepared to talk about this, is that this is the sheet that Duane sent, but all those other tabs are available, and that's what was used to develop this budget. Yes. May I continue, Tracy? If we look at the election expense on line 6595, which is 66, line 66, because they show the audited expenses for 2010, so it was $22,000. If you see the audited numbers for 2010, line 66, account number 6595. So that looks like that the exposure would be somewhere around that amount. It would be that amount less. Actually, he has a total of 18, although you're showing the 3,000 a month. But the total there is actually 21,829. So what we will need to do is to pull up for each station what the total election expenses are expected to be. And I understand there has been a meeting with over that with, I guess, the database managers are on in terms of pulling together the list for the election, which, of course, will tell you how much the cost will be to distribute the ballot. So what we will do is we will pull all of that for each station and show what the total election expense would be.
Okay. The point of my question was, can we be provided with the assumptions sheets for these budgets?
Yes.
Laverne, do you want to address that?
Oh, yes, they can be.
Okay, I would appreciate that. I think that would, help answer some of the questions that some folks may have. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on in the stack. Barbara is next.
My question is to Jim about at the point where you're saying your expenses are similar to this current year, except healthcare. I'm assuming, like everybody else's budgets, the healthcare is going up there. But my question is, do you know offhand how many employees at KPFT, are working enough hours to be covered by healthcare? I realize I could dig around in these tiny little numbers and probably find that, but do you know?
I would have to guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess around. I would say six.
Six. Okay.
Seven.
Six or
this
seven.
Is Bill, I was thinking we had seven full time, and all the part time ones are under 50%, I believe.
Okay.
The part time would not qualify. We have
right. I know. Mm-hmm.
I have the information here. I can distribute. We're doing a monthly headcount report, and if I look at the numbers, it looks like
for healthcare.
Well, in terms of the total number of hours, people full time will get the healthcare in this one.
Well, yeah, but two.
You mean Laverne? You have it broken down by station?
Yeah, he keeps them all below 50%. Yes, I do. I sent out the report last month, and we're doing it. We have already done our report for this month for headcount, which I can send out. So I'm adding them up now.
So what is KPFT's?
It looks like
8.
Okay. Are we ready to move the stack?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, let me just mention one reason why I wanted to look at the assumptions, because there's some very large increases in website income.
Campbell, I'll put you back on the stack, but you're not on the stack right now. It's someone else's turn.
Okay.
All right. Alex?
Okay. I have some concerns, and it's not specifically on the KPFT budget, but it's kind of more generic as to the budgets of all the stations. And basically, my concern is this. It looks like the economy is heading toward an iceberg. We just had this budget deal between Obama and the Republicans and Democrats that's going to pretty much guarantees that the recession will continue and get much worse, and that lots of programs are going to be cut, if not completely wiped out. So I'm thinking that maybe we have to plan for this. Maybe we need to have contingencies in our budget. For instance, do we have any idea what is likely to happen with CPB funding? I don't know if anybody has any numbers, but I doubt anything good is likely to happen with CPB funding, and I don't know if we can assume that it's going to remain about the same as it was last year, or maybe drop 5% or something like that. We could be in for a devastating cut. It may even be possible that there will be no CPB funding with this Congress and with this president. Unemployment benefits are going to run out for many millions of people at the end of the year. That's going to affect our ability to draw support from our listeners. This is not an objection to this budget as such, but I think we need to have some contingencies for all the budgets at this point. And I'd like to know if anyone has any information and has done any research on the likely effect that the events of the last few days are going to have on our fiscal health.
Does anyone want to address that?
This is Arlene LaVarne.
Okay. Arlene, you're up.
The latest word that we have is that CPB funding is in the budget for the coming year. It's already been passed for that far. Now, that's not to say they can't go back and do something like they did with PTFP, but it is in the budget for this coming year. Beyond that, we don't have any idea where it's going.
LaVarne, I think you wanted to say something as well.
Everyone has done, most have done budgets, but, ideally I would like to put it in at 20% less than what we had this year. So for KPFT, that would be $141,000, and in the budget we currently have $175 versus $141. So we will need to come in somewhere between there. Because, as Arlene said, we were told it's in the budget, for through 2013. So it's just the amount that we will get based on our loss of $1,975 last year.
Okay,
Bruce, if I could just be added to the stack.
Okay. Who was that for the stack? Was that Bruce?
Bruce and Ken.
Okay, we'll do the people who haven't spoken first. Kim is next. Kim?
Yeah, I really didn't want to speak. I was just going to direct people to where the election expenses were when they were looking. And if those are the audited numbers, I don't know why. I don't know why Texas is $10,000 lower than other stations, but if that's what the audited number is,
Texas doesn't have too many members, I think, is the reason.
Yeah, so that's all. Thanks.
Okay. We're going to move on to Bruce.
Okay. I have two questions, and one is also on the election. I know that we just have completed putting our budget together at WPFW, but one piece of information we weren't able to get was the projected cost for the upcoming elections. So I'd like to ask, first of all, who provided the information to you? And also, I'm noting that what they're showing here is $3,000 for every month from April through September. And I'm wondering, does that mean that this year around they genuinely expect to start the election process in April? Because I mean, it seems to me I remember last year it started late, and that was one of our problems. And also, I remember from last year, too, is that part of our election costs actually it overlapped the two fiscal years. Some of the costs were in 2010 and some were in 2011, and I'm wondering if that's also a reason for the amount, for your total amount. So that's one question, if you can hold on to that for a second. And the other question was, and I'm sorry, because this is really a little off topic, but LeVarne just mentioned something about the CPB money, and if I want to make sure I understood her, that she said that she wants us to estimate approximately 20% less than what we should have got less for this year, or 20% of what we actually got for this year.
LeVarne?
Yeah.
Than what they received last year.
Than the actual amount received, not the amount that we were supposed to receive. Is that what you're saying?
The actual amount that you received.
Okay,
I have a sheet here. I'll send it.
Somebody's chewing chips into the phone.
And point of information is Bill.
Okay, then my other question was about the election. Jim, do you have...
This is Bill. That's what I had information about.
Oh, Bill. Okay, great.
I'll forward on to all of you the spreadsheet that I got from Arlene and LeVarne early this year. I was chair of the elections committee last year, and it did take a while to get all that compiled, but I think it's got all the things you're looking for. It has for each station and by month and totals for the last two elections. So I'll send that.
Okay.
Of course, it may be a little different this next year.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure. We're trying to figure out what to estimate for. Okay.
Is the chair there? Come back.
Chair is here.
Okay.
Chair is here. So we had two repeats on the staff, which were Ken and Campbell. So we'll take those now. Ken, you want to go?
Okay. I would just ask if LeVarne could not use the speakerphone, and as Barbara said, you know, eat away, but turn on and mute the phone first, whoever that is. And but I just wanted to speak to this that I'm not. The data may be available, but if the income's been trending down and we budgeted out to just squeak by without capital improvements, we can't keep doing this in all of the stations. As Alex said, there may be dire financial times. We just have to figure out better budget. If station can be more successful, raising its listenership or earn more money with community events, the budget can always be adjusted. But I don't think we should be operating on these, you know, narrow budgets with squeak by, and especially when we see the trend of income declining. And I'm sorry, I don't have that available for KPFK at hand. And it's hard to, you know, the data may be available, and maybe we could do the work to do the analysis. But I think part of a budget's presentation should be a reasonable estimation of income, not based on intention, but based on statistical analysis of the past 10 quarters or 6 quarters. You know, it's predictable. You know, if it goes the other way, that's wonderful. But I think we should really budget for like at least a 5% cushion. How? I'm not answering that. You know, that's up to the stations. But it just has to be done. While I'm on the stack, I just want to say one thing, because there was a rumor going around at our station that because we're a nonprofit, we are allowed to have a negative, go into deficit. We don't have to make money, quote. That's not true. We're a nonprofit corporation, but we have to be viable, fiscally viable, and we can't continue to show a loss every year. I don't think it's consequential 1 year out of four or 2 years out of five, but not consistently 4 or 5 years in a row. That's what the audit said. So I just think when we have a budget here and we have an omitted expense for the elections, we have to have a stronger representation to validate the projected income and possibly expenses with statistical analysis, and we have to have a budget. To say that the budget's balanced, I wouldn't consider a budget balanced unless it had like a 3 or 4% cushion. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. We'll go on to Campbell and then myself.
Can I respond to that, to Jim?
You can, Jim.
In the first lines 4 through 7 are basically the four categories for online payments to the station from listeners. And adding those up, they're a little bit unusual because we've changed this category. If you add up the first four category or first four lines for FY11, it's $1,086,000. If you add up the first four categories for FY12, it's $1,035,000. So we've built in about a $50,000 cushion, just estimating, just saying that we may come in $50,000 less. In addition to that, we've ramped up the community events, and it looks like we could be substantially above the $50,000 that we have there. So in the budget, we came from that perspective that it may not be as good this year as it was last year, and we've made some reductions because of that.
Right. Thanks. I had seen that. Thank you, Jim. Okay, we're going to go to Campbell.
Okay, I'm glad you gave that explanation, and because that kind of covers some of the questions that I have between the audit figures from FY 2010 and the FY 12. You know, you have on that, what is that, website income, there's a huge increase in that, and then the corporate match, I think, let me look at that again. That seems to be, moving in another direction, and then major donor is moving. You know, these pieces are just moving back and forth, and it's a little bit unclear as to what's going on. And I think that that's why it's so important to have assumptions pages, provided with this. And the overall increase, I think, amongst those numbers was something like, I haven't looked at that, 80-some thousand or something like that between what would have been the FY12 and the audit. Is that somewhat correct? And that's a substantial kind of difference here I think it'd be good to know what's going on between what happened in FY10 and, what we're projecting for FY12.
Okay. Jim, do you want to respond to that, or should we just carry on with the stack?
I really don't have a response to that.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
This is Bill. I have a brief comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Campbell's right. We do need to look at the assumptions. And also not shown here is an FY11 actuals year-to-date, but the listener support is down substantially. And so just to be honest with you, I'm guessing our projected income for listener support and related things for FY12, even though it's less than FY11 budget, it's probably going to be close to what our actuals are for this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is Tracy. A couple of thoughts. One is that I think that the capital expenses that are listed on the budget fall more in the category of a wish list than of a budgetary item. In other words, cash is not realistically being allocated for those items at this point. So I think as a structural thing, they need to be out of the budget and into some other spreadsheet. That's the first item. The second item basically has to do with the amount of cash that we're forecasting and the election expenses. KPFT has, as I recall, a fairly small number of members to mail ballots to, so your printing and postage expenses are fairly low. What is the current membership? It's not even...
About
8,000.
About 7,000, 8,000. Okay, so it's less than half the size of KPFA, KPFK, KPFA, and WBAI. So that needs to be taken into account. Their expenses are not huge for mailing things. So that said, I think we need to quantify that amount, which shouldn't be too hard to do. And that amount will throw the budget into deficit. So I think we've basically got a template here that we can't quite pass. So what I would suggest is that this budget go back for one more week of work. I think that the revenue projections, while we don't want to be crazy, there may need to be some hard thought about what we could do to capture about $25,000 more in revenue. And I think there are some plans that you can make to support that, because I think you're going to need it. And so I think if we can reallocate the capital, do a little bit of revenue supplementation planning and get the election expenses properly accounted for, that we're probably not in a bad place with this budget, but that those three pieces need to be dealt with. So that's my recommendation for what we do.
The one question I would have is I just wonder if maybe Arlene or Laverne can give some more input on the election expense, if the election expense is a problem, or if that $18,000 through September 12 is an unrealistic amount. If that's not an unrealistic amount, then that would not necessarily be a problem with the budget the way we have it set now. And as far as the other items that you're describing, they seem to be rather minor, and in view of the stack of things that we have coming up, is it possible to make minor changes here and get this passed onto the PNB and so that we can get to some of the other items that we have coming up in the next NFC meetings?
Okay, well, I'm going to jump in here and say yes, that might be possible as an approach. Laverne, do you want to address the election issues? I'm going to take a look at what Bill Crozier sent out. It looks like the $18,000, yes. It looks like the expenses were $21,000 in 2010, and that is down from $26,000 in 2009.
You're talking about
and that
election?
Relates to some of the economies, I think. Well, I guess not, because we did end up printing all the ballots, so I guess it's just $21,000. So that's not a huge discrepancy, but it is a couple thousand that we need to take account of. So, Lauren, do you have something to add, and then maybe we can look at a modification motion?
I think that, as Bill said, the information, Arlene had sent that out to everyone, what the expenses were, and we had that all of that information sent out. And actually, on the sheet here on the budget that Dwayne submitted, you know, he has the FY10 audited numbers, so it shows the exact same number, the 21,000. So, and the details should be in that. I haven't pulled up what Bill had sent, so the details should be in there as far
it is,
as
yeah.
were, which were again. As they have in there for the election supervisor and the ballots. And the thing about Houston is they didn't have to send the ballot. They didn't have to continue to send the ballots out. There were not errors that caused the additional cost. So, you know, that those costs, so the 18 plus the cost of mailing the ballots and any of the other expenses, the share of the national election supervisor based on the number of ballots. So it's always based on that, that it should be just about there. You know, in terms
okay.
of looking at
listening. Is there anybody else on the stack? If not, I think I have a procedural suggestion. No. Okay, then I'll proceed. Well, I think two out of the three things are certainly fixable by amendment, and I would propose that we change the election figure to $21,000, and I would suggest that we strip the capital items. The one that I'm not quite sure how to fix is my own sensation that basically we need another $25,000 or so in revenue to have an appropriate-sized cushion for the size of the overall budget. And, of course, we can stick that in, but that's not a plan. So I guess the question that I have for Bill and for Jim is, in looking at the revenue figures, do you feel that there is a place where you can tangibly adjust your plan in order to generate a bit more revenue in a reasonable way than what you're projecting here? And I understand that you're being conservative. But it seems like there's some reason to be conservative based on the 2011 numbers. So is there potential for adding an extra day of fundraising, for example, which would be a concrete thing, or upping community events? Or, in other words, do you have a tangible way to boost the revenue slightly that you are willing to propose? And I don't know if that's something that can be done here or if you need to go back and then come back to us.
Barbara with a question.
Okay. Well, let's go to Jim and Bill first, just on my question, and then we'll go to Barbara.
I would, this is Jim, based on the small amount that we're talking about, first off, just based on what we've done this year, the community events of $50,000 is low. That I would say easily boosting that to 60 or 65 is what we would expect and would probably expect more than that for this coming year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would, the only other thing would be if we're talking about a relatively modest amount, I would like to get the budget approved and in front of the PNB if possible and getting on to some of the other items that appear to be coming up. The NFC. So I would suggest increasing line 10 from 50 to 65,000 and then line 4 from 955 to 965.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bill?
Yeah, I think we need to check with our GM and make sure he's on board with whatever plans we're assuming we might do. But, I mean, that's probably reasonable. But and also, we should look at what the actuals are for this year. I know we would be running a deficit right now if it wasn't for the Rice University contract. That's made up for our decreased listener support. But a lot of that was we get so much each year, but that's what's showing up under other income, line 18. But we got a boost this first year. Which won't be there next year. The first year we get a lot more. So we need to get some commitment, I guess. And also, we have a grant for marketing that, you know, we hope will help, but some of that's long term. It won't necessarily result in additional donations, you know, in the first year. So I don't know yet, and we still don't even have that plan finished.
Okay, Barbara.
Well, my question was about whether or not KPFT has an actual development director.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do, but she doesn't have
full-time
to do much development.
Pardon me?
We do, and she's full-time, but she doesn't have time to do much development. She also organizes all the fundraisers.
Oh,
I mean, all the fund drives and supervises other people involved with events.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got the picture.
Okay. So it sounds to me procedurally like there are four particular changes that most of us are thinking need to happen with this budget. I understand where Jim is coming from, but I think I'm coming down on the side of Bill, where the budget should probably go back for a brief consultation, at least with the GM, and then come back to us next week, hopefully with those changes in place, and if not, with an alternative plan to address the issues, because I think all of us want to see an approximate, you know, $15,000 to $20,000 surplus here in terms of passing something responsibly. So just to reiterate, the capital expenses are basically getting off the budget. The election expenses are going up to $21,000 to match the actuals from 2010. And we are looking for approximately $20,000 to $25,000 boosted revenue with some substantiation. Jim's version of that is community expenses up to $60,000 or $65,000. For the community events category, and then potentially adding another $5,000 to $10,000 on in listener revenue.
To the stack.
Can the two of you take that back, see how that flies, and then return to us next week?
I'll go with the GM tomorrow and check with them on that, and we can get with you next week.
Okay.
And I'll talk to them too.
Does that sound okay as a plan?
That sounds good.
This is Bruce with a quick question. I hope it's clear.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify here. You're asking Houston to increase the amount it's budgeting for the election to the amount that was audited for 2010. Are you suggesting that's what all the stations should do, that we should all look at the audited amount and use that as our budgeting amount?
I think that's probably sensible. For PFW, the figure seems to be $22,750. I mean, obviously membership goes up and down by a bit. So in terms of the number of ballots you're going to print and post, it's not going to be exactly precise. But I think it's as good a benchmark as anything else. If you're aware of a significant drop or increase in your membership rolls, you might want to take that into account. But if you're not aware of that, then I think this is a good benchmark to use.
Good benchmark. Okay.
I mean, you know, if you know that you added 3,000 more members, then you might want to add something to accommodate that.
And plus what you're suggesting is we're not telling one station to do something that other stations wouldn't do. We're all going to do the same thing. We're all
going to
basically, okay.
Yeah, of course. The archives, of course, the elections are not an issue. So this is the first station budget that we've been looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. Any objections to how we're proceeding? Can we move the agenda?
We can assume that we'll be on the agenda for next week.
Yes.
Thank you.
And hopefully very briefly is the idea. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next item. The next item is to address a motion that was passed by the KPFA LSB recommending that the National Finance Committee take an action. So we will be considering that. I don't have the exact wording, so I'm going to paraphrase. If Barbara has the exact wording, she can correct me. But my paraphrase of the motion is that the KPFA LSB recommends to the National Finance Committee that KPFA be extended a 1% discount off the shared services fee of 19.5% down to 18.5% as compensation for the occupancy of the National Office at 1925 Martin Luther King Jr. Way. For those who were not on the Finance Committee last year, this motion was brought before the NFC last year, and it was voted down, but it's a new year, the board passed it again, so we will be looking at it once again. I know that Bruce had some thoughts about this as well and possibly commotion that he wanted to put forward, and he can do so in this space, but first we'll have to deal with the recommendation of the KPFA LSB.
And I'd like
either
to speak to that.
I understand. And either accept it or not accept it. People should also know that KPFA's draft budget, which will probably not be to us until after the next LSB meeting, is not balanced without this 1% discount. Actually, I'm not sure it's balanced either way, but it's...
No, it's not balanced for other reasons as well.
Right, but certainly this is a contributing factor, so we do mm-hmm. owe it to them to give them a clear answer tonight so they know how to proceed mm-hmm. over the next couple of weeks. So with that, I'm going to let Barbara motivate this motion.
Okay,
thanks. And then we'll have discussion.
And your statement of the motion is correct, except I want to clarify that the 1% that KPFA is asking to be reduced is from the portion that goes to the national office. In other words, I think that was one of the questions that Bruce put out in a memo after we first circulated this again recently. And it would be then asking that we continue to contribute 2.5% to the archives, but the contribution to the national office becomes 16% instead of 17%.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic, there's three or four points I want to make here. And I must say that the first one and the most basic one is a matter of fairness. I think that the listeners at KPFA deserve to be compensated in some way for the fact that the national office is occupying space owned by the listeners. And I know Laverne is always reminding us that it's a network and we all own everything, but you must admit that the listeners of KPFA paid for this building. So that's the main point, one point. The other point is everybody needs to know how much money we're talking about, and that would amount to somewhere between $27,000 and $30,000 a year. Of course, you know, the calculations are made on the amount of listener income that comes in. So we can't be more specific than that at this point. And the last time I mentioned this at our last meeting, and Arlene jumped right in with the idea that we still owe Democracy Now! A large amount, $600,000 something, and we owe FSRN, I don't remember how much we owe them. But really, when you think about it, this $27,000 to $30,000 is not going to solve that problem. And I think we've all recognized that there has been other types of fundraising that has contributed to helping with these big debts. And one is, you know, the recent extra day of fundraising amount that was contributed from the stations to the national office budget.